Hey everybody, what up? This is Shamira Young with you from Zenjoyable.com, and I'm so pumped that you're joining us for our Pro Photographer interview series, episode number 10. Now, in our previous episode, we featured the first half of our discussion with Chris Fry, a photographer and Photoshop guru. And now in episode number 10, we're going to bring you the second half of that discussion. So get out your pencil, your paper, and get ready to take more notes. Let's do it. What's the most challenging aspect of photography for you?
For me personally, in my experiences right now, just recently graduating college, I've been one of the lucky few to actually get a job. And I know the market's bad and the economy's bad and all that stuff, but photography in particular, it's not an easy field to go get a degree in and then expect a job, because there aren't a lot around, especially in Michigan, because I've looked.
Yeah.
And I've come to terms with the idea of having to eventually move out of state to probably get a better, more reliable job. But it's difficult, because you have to be so good at everything. Like I said, both of the studios I work at, I'm not just an assistant and I'm not just a photo editor. You know, I have to know the equipment. I have to know how to shoot. I have to know how to edit. I have to know how to process. There's so much you have to do nowadays that it is difficult to get a job. It's not as easy, which was, I'm sure, quite a scare for my parents several years ago, telling them I wanted to go to art school. I'm sure not a lot of parents want to hear that.
Yours and mine. Yeah.
Yeah. But the fact is too, that like I said, I found these jobs that they are out there. If you look hard enough and you work hard enough and you know what, you show your stuff, there are jobs, even in Michigan, but any state you go to, even in a field like photography, there are opportunities out there. You just got to prove that you're worth it, and you got to go find them, just like any job, really.
Just curious, how did you find your jobs, the ones that you have now?
I got very lucky, but one of the jobs, the studio in Royal Oak, the product studio, the owner is actually a teacher, and him and his brother, a teacher at CCS.
Okay.
Both him and his brother run the studio, but I never had John is his name. I never had John as an instructor, but it kind of got around the school, and I kind of got known as the guy who does Photoshop, and that was an editor. And through word of mouth, John heard about me, and you know, we met and we talked, and we would see each other around school. So he asked me to come and kind of try and see how I liked it and stuff. And I really did enjoy working with him. I still do.
Nice.
The other one was recommended from who recommended me? A different teacher, actually. The other studio, Beth, the interior photographer, called the school and said, I need somebody who can do this, who can do this, who can do that, you know, this list of things. And mine was one of the names that came up on that list.
Okay.
So I've been very fortunate that my teachers helped look out for me. CCS is a very well-known school. That kind of opens up a lot of doors for me in the first place, but you still have to know what you're doing and get it done.
Yeah. You know, you use the word luck to describe you finding these jobs. I really think it's a testament to your skill and your dedication. You know, personally, I don't believe in luck. I believe that when you work hard, people will notice and opportunities will come to you. And, you know, I found that to be true in school, but also outside of school as well, where it's all about networking and who you know. And yeah, people will notice when you're a hard worker. So that says a lot about you.
Oh, I appreciate that. But yeah, I agree. And I say luck because it was hard work. And, you know, I got lucky and blessed with the skills that I had, and kind of discovering and knowing what I wanted to do kind of early on so that I could focus. Because like I said, you know, CCS, it's a fine art school. That's what they teach. That's what you learn. You learn to do art. You don't have to learn to do commercial work and stuff like that. So, but I knew going into it that I didn't want to be an artist. Although I would consider myself an artist, it's not a career path that I wanted to go for, because it's not, unless you're really, really good or in a different kind of field, not necessarily photography, but it's just not a really good career field. So I took it, I took my final projects and a lot of my projects as more do them fine arty, but do them in a way that can demonstrate my commercial skills.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of the senior project, a lot of my manipulations were, was about, you know, saying, look, I can do this fine art, I can make this conceptual work, but to a trained eye, somebody who I would hope would want to hire me to do Photoshop work because that's what they do, they're going to look at this and they're going to look past all the concepts and they're going to see the skill and the talent that was involved in it.
That's a very good approach. Very good approach. Yeah, you know, I can tell that you've put a lot of thought into what you do, into how you do it, and especially into why you're doing what you're doing. And that brings me to our next section, lessons learned. Now, what is the most common mistake that you've seen other photographers make, or yourself? Because we all make mistakes. You know, I've made my fair share. It can be a technical mistake. It can be a business mistake. It's up to you.
Well, I know for me personally, and I've started to kind of change this post-grad, but for a long time, I was very turned off by the idea of Flickr, Instagram, blogging, stuff like that, because I feel like photography as an art or as a medium is just so flooded with people nowadays. And I'm not saying people are bad or good and stuff like that, but it's just, it's such a common art form because cameras are getting cheaper and cheaper that for the longest time I told myself that not necessarily that I'm too good for this, but I'm not going to bother to fight upstream this battle every single day to get people to look at my Flickr and to get people to like my Flickrs and you know, comment on my Instagram and stuff like that. But I realize now it's a huge marketing opportunity, absolutely huge, that I have a friend who actually travels the country now, hanging out, staying with, and shooting with people that he's met on Flickr.
Oh, and that's what he
does, and he loves it, and he's doing really, really good for himself right now, but it's all because of Flickr, and I got so far behind on that trend that you got to start playing catch up now.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to a photographer from the UK a couple days ago, and he said that even, I think, oh, don't quote me on this, a while ago, I can't remember how many years he said, 10, 15, in his city, there were maybe 3 or 4 photographers. And now that number has ballooned up to, I think, over a dozen. And you're right, there are so many photographers popping up with the gear becoming so much cheaper. But, you know, I firmly believe if you do excellent work, you will stand out.
Oh, absolutely.
And actually,
you absolutely will. And that's part of the reason, because for a while in school, like I said, I was kind of not turned off at the idea of photo or deterred from it, but I gravitated towards Photoshop because although these photographers are sprouting up everywhere, Photoshop is still a skill that you have to learn and you have to know. It's not as simple as grabbing your camera and going out getting pictures and then slapping them all over the internet anymore.
Right.
And that's kind of what led me to these jobs that I have now. It's because I know Photoshop, and that was the edge that gave me over everybody else. Because at this point that I feel in the industry is the photographers are – the professional photographers, the ones who are owning these studios and doing these catalog shoots, are typically the older ones, the ones who grew up shooting film, the ones who know how to use light to their advantage and how to light products and use the camera in the proper way, that they're not looking for a young person like me to come and take pictures.
Mm.
They're looking for a young person like me to come and do the computer work because they have no idea how to do it. And that's kind of what led me to these two jobs. And although I am an assistant, they are the one taking the pictures and I am the one doing all the computer work. Like, that was established from day one at both of the jobs because that's what they hired me to do. Because they don't know how to do it. And they're clearly better at taking pictures because they've been doing it for 35 years.
Right, right. Yeah, there's such a difference, a big difference between a snapshot and a photo, a quality photo.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, in your opinion, I'm curious, what makes a good photo stand out or a decent snapshot stand out from a really good photo?
You know, I actually really enjoyed this question. I thought about it for a really long time, and I'm sure I'll probably come up with 100 different answers when we're done. But I think the number one, like I said, it for me, it comes down to a sense of light. The thing that kind of distinguishes photography from really any other medium, maybe other than videography, is that we get this light. The things that we make as photographers are real. They exist. Mm-hmm. But if you shoot this picture and just with, you know, your on-camera flash or you're just blasting in too much light, it's not going to look good.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a key understanding of possibly where the sun's at and how to position a person in order to make that a flattering light, I think that's going to be, that's a huge step.
Absolutely.
The other one, that, and I'll keep going back to it, is just knowing how to Photoshop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It really is my answer to everything. That's just all your questions are just going to be answered with Photoshop from now on.
Photoshop.
Yep. But it is. You don't have to know the program. You don't have to be a whiz at it. But there are certain things, for example, that color balance.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, you know, I choose to shoot on auto white balance partly because I'm lazy, partly because I know I can fix it later.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't, you know, your camera's not always going to pick up the right color, especially if you have different light sources coming in. You know, if you have your table lamp from inside your house and you have the sun coming through the window, you're going to get those two different colors.
Mm-hmm.
And people who don't understand that and can't recognize that can't change it or fix it or do anything about it. And to a trained eye, you're going to see that.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
And so it's a lot of it is the light for me. And it's just the sense of being there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's just something about being a photographer that you just can do.
Yeah. As photographers, we really do have trained eyes and, you know, we have to see things and notice things that, oh, normal people, we're all normal, but, you know, that the average person can't quite put their finger on. We have to know what those things are. And if you have an average photo and a really good photo side by side, most people would probably be able to point out the really good photo, but they may not quite understand why they like it more. You know, be it lighting or retouching or even depth of field. You know, it's our job as photographers to really know what those things are and know what techniques we have to use to get that into our photos.
Absolutely. It's that subconscious thing that as people we can look at photos and, like you said, you can know if something's right or wrong. You may not know why,
exactly.
But you will. But there's, because it's like it's a medium that is true to what you're seeing. Unless you're completely distorting the picture, for the most part, the camera is capturing what is there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an illustration where the artist is choosing to render what he wants to render, she wants to render. So there is an element of just realism that people have to understand and see. And even just a common person or an untrained eye, they're going to see that difference.
I like that, a common person.
Those common people.
The commoners, yeah. And so tell us, what is the one thing you wish you knew before beginning your photography journey?
You know, I think just how much fun it is, actually. I'm going to go a positive route on here. It's just, I've been doing it for a while, like I said, and stuff. And although my parents fully supported me doing it,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure secretly they were not questioning me, but worried mm-hmm. about my future. And they love it. They love it now. You know, my pictures are hanging all over their apartment, their house. They're always talking about it with their friends and stuff. And it really does bring a joy into my life. And I kind of wish I knew that from the beginning so I could have embraced it a little more.
Mm.
You know, I was young when I started, you know, 17, 18 when I started college and kind of going through those freshman college years and not really embracing it fully. For example, I got the opportunity to go to Japan for 2 weeks
goodness.
I was 20, 21 maybe. It was a study abroad course, but I didn't take nearly as many pictures as I wish I had.
Oh.
And if I had gone back, I know, if I had gone back now, knowing what I know and how much just fun and just how much I would love it, thinking back on it,
mm-hmm.
just and getting that jump start and all that stuff, I don't regret it, but I just, It really is. It's changed my life, and I wish it would have changed my life earlier so I could have embraced it for a lot longer.
Well, you've got a lot of, you have quite a few years ahead of you,
I
quite a
hope
few
so.
photos to take. I'm sure you'll go back to Japan and other cool places too. So, yeah. And is there a particular photography resource, tool, book, or even software that you would recommend to our listeners?
Photoshop. But yeah, a lot of obviously the standard, the industry standard is the Adobe products. I've been trying to make it a point to learn as many as I can. So obviously Photoshop. A recent one that I've been trying to learn is Muse, which is a website generating kind of program. But I'm looking at their list of the Photoshop Creative Cloud right now. And they have so many programs. I wish I could just learn them all. But not necessarily as a photographer, but each program has a specific use. Adobe InDesign, for example, it's a program that's specifically made for layouts, for book layouts, for templates, pamphlets, PDFs, stuff like that. Now, it's not an editing program, but if you ever wanted to make your own book or PDF and I've made professional PDFs that I use to send out to potential clients or people who might be able to hire me. But in this program, it makes these chapters, these pages, and everything's lined up. But if you don't know it, you got to work a lot harder. I mean, there's so many to learn from there. In terms of resources and tools, I spend a lot of my time watching lynda.com videos, which are to, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the website.
Yes.
It's a very, very good website.
There's a ton on there.
Oh, there's so much. If I ever get stumped on a technique, for example, cutting out hair on a model, I'll go back and I'll watch Lynda videos specifically, and you can just search how to mask out hair and you can find tons of videos on them. I am always reading. There's a website called fstoppers.com, which is very informative. I follow them on Facebook, and they constantly have posts and show examples. And it's a really it's almost like a morning newspaper to me. Get up and read it kind of every day.
Yeah, we'll definitely include those in the show notes for people to check out. Leah, lynda.com is extremely popular. It's been around for years, and just about anything I'd say tech related that you're wanting to learn, chances are it's on there.
Absolutely,
Yeah.
especially the Adobe programs.
Yes.
That's how I've been learning all of these new programs is unfortunately it's a subscription base. I'm not sure how much it is. I don't remember,
I think
but
25, unless it's gone up. But I thought it was 20 something a month.
that might be right. I know with my tuition, I got a subscription to it through CCS, and
Oh.
I'm hoping that stays for a
Oh,
while.
nice
But
perk. Yeah.
it was a nice perk, yeah. Any program you want to learn, Adobe programs, you can just hop on, and they can take you from the very beginning. And these people are very knowledgeable, and they're all video based, so you can follow along. They give you the files, so you can download them, and so you can do what they're doing. But they take you from, step one, opening a blank document, all the way down to saving out your own website. So it's a really, really good website.
Last but certainly not least, tell us where we can find you as far as your website or any other products that you have out there.
Yeah, so my website is www.chrisfry, which is Chrisfry. Photo, photo.com. That is my professional website. It's got all my personal work and stuff like that. That's really about the most that I do. Like I said before, I'm not a fan. I've never really got into the Flickr and stuff like that. But I have pretty much monopolized the name Chris Fry Photo across any website you could think of, whether I use it or not.
Good move,
I
good
mean.
move.
I made a point to claim them all so nobody else could.
Very
But
strategic, I like that.
there are a lot of other websites. I have been in my free time. I spend a lot of time looking for contests, art galleries, art shows, anything like that to submit my work to.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two websites in particular, if I remember. One is called ViewBug, ViewBug.com.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a choice. You have a choice between a free or a subscription-based account. But they have new photo contests every couple days. And you get a couple weeks to submit to them. Some of them you have to be a premium member to submit to. Most of them are free.
Nice.
But you get to submit two or three pictures, and they have new categories all the time. Right now they have a I Heart Animals, a Creative Lighting, Urban Photographers, Autumn Sceneries, just everything you can think of. And I look on this website about once a week to see if there's any sort of contest.
Nice.
They have prizes, they have exposure and stuff like that. But it's a good feeling, because I had the violin picture actually got voted in the top 30 in a contest the other day, which gave me a lot of exposure.
Mm-hmm.
I got a lot of messages, and I got a lot of critique and feedback from those as well. So that was a really good website that I stumbled upon. There's another one called Pixoto, which is Pixoto, and I can send you links to all of these as well.
Sure, that'd be great.
This Pixoto is more of like a voting website, so you actually upload your photo and you categorize it, and they basically pit it head-to-head against another photo. There's not much of a contest or prize involved with it, but it is good. It's a good source to kind of go through and say maybe which photo might do better in a contest or might do better on the open market if you're trying to sell it and stuff like that. But it's a good website that keeps me occupied as well.
Yeah, and I would think things like this would keep you sharp, too. You know, entering contests and getting feedback and putting your photos out there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's another big thing. I'm not sure if we touched on it too much, but one of the things that if I could recommend to new photographers, old photographers, any sort of creative person, whether it be on the internet or in person, is about surrounding yourself with creative people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, I'm fortunate enough, like I said, I went to 6 years of art school. CCS is known, well, at least throughout the school, as a very tight niche kind of group. Like, we had about 20 kids, I think, in my graduating class, and we all knew each other, but our critiques were just brutal. And we didn't do it out of hatred or spite towards each other, but we did it out of, to get each other better.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest issues with graduating and moving into the professional world is you've got to keep that sense of competition, if you will.
Oh, that's such a good point. Yeah.
And keeping these people, you know, keeping these creators around, you know, I'm fortunate enough that my girlfriend is also a CCS photographer. We live together, and we are constantly discussing photos, whether it's ours or someone else's, or, you know, we're flipping through magazines or something, but you're always got to be talking about that creative and finding that next thing, that thing that inspires you or that thing you want to inspire to be.
Yeah.
But if you don't surround yourself in it, it's going to start fading away.
You're the average of the top five people you hang around the most. And in many cases, you probably find that to be true. You know, that's something that I've noticed with not just myself, but my friends too, when we graduated from U of M. It's you're in the art school and you're surrounded by all these creative people, and so you're constantly sharpening each other and going through this refining fire. But then when you graduate, you're right, you're thrust into, in many cases, kind of a business world, but you have to constantly keep yourself sharp and on your toes. And a lot of times you have to take charge and do that by surrounding yourself with creative people. You have to seek them out, because they're not all always right there surrounding you like they were, you know, when you were a student in art school.
Right. You know, it was right in front of you. It was given to you in art school. But that's where a lot of the internet and a lot of these websites that I frequent is, it's because that, and, you know, sometimes you have to go fishing for the feedback. You've got to, you know, somebody might comment on a picture and say, oh, this is nice. And then maybe you respond back and be like, why, you know, could you tell me what's nice about it, or what do you think is nice about it? And you got to get this out of these people. And it's the same in art school during critique. It's the same anywhere.
Uh-huh.
But, and it also starts being a creative person, kind of starts affecting those around you too. My father is a businessman. has, you know, I love the man to death, but has no creative talent whatsoever. as he says it, it's fascinating because my older brother is a police officer, and my dad couldn't draw a stick figure to save his life, as he explains it to me sometimes. But after talking to him and explaining and kind of opening his eyes up to this world, this creative mm-hmm. world, you know, I'll get calls from him or my mom sometimes saying, hey, go look at this. Or I'll get emails from my mom asking about a photo or something like that. Same goes for my other roommate. He's a lawyer. And he'll sit there and he'll point things out in magazines or on TV commercials and stuff that I may not have seen. But, you know, not saying he's not creative, but as a lawyer, he's not used to seeing that kind of things. But after being exposed to it from me, so it does start filtering out. It doesn't just have to be creative people you need to surround yourself with, because the creativity can come from anywhere.
That's a really good point. Yeah, yeah. Excellent, excellent. Very good discussion. Well, hey, that takes us to the end of our interview, and I feel like we could just talk for hours about this. you know, we really appreciate you just coming and chatting with us and just sharing what you've learned over the years. You know, we're really going to have to keep an eye on you because you're going to big, great places. So just thank you, Chris.
I appreciate that. One of the most important people in my life recently from CCS actually was a teacher I took. I won't get into it, but she's just a very, very loving person, and they're working on a Kickstarter promotion right now.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
And what it is she's a sociology teacher, and she's trying to kind of reinvent the way students think and just the morale of students. So they're trying to make this documentary right now. It's called Tuning the Student Mind. And I'd like to, if it's possible, link that Kickstarter as well. Part of the reason I say is because my photography is actually one of the rewards for the Kickstarter.
Okay.
Which is a way to get your hands on some of my stuff too. But it is a way to help a really nice
cause.
Organization. They have cause. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Heck yeah. We'll definitely put that in the show notes. Just send that over.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, not a problem at all.
Trying to help them out any way that I can.
Definitely.
Thank you. Thank Excellent. You. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, just thanks again, Chris. And, you know, we just really enjoyed talking to you this evening.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.